title today is Most Important. And Sunday night, we viewed a video understanding the book of Revelations in 60 minutes. It was a very big crowd that came out Sunday night, and I appreciate you coming out. I pray that you enjoyed it. And this video, the teachers from the perspective of a pre-trib belief. And I want to speak to that today. So this teaching that you heard Sunday night, it was very obvious if you've been in church for very long. He was a pre-tribulation believer. He believed that the church would be gone from this earth at the start, or right before the start of the tribulation period. That view is that the church or the body of Christ would be raptured or caught away, as the scripture says, right before the start of the tribulation. This is the predominant, I want to do some teaching on this today, that this is the predominant view among all Christian fellowship. But it is very important to know that there are other views as well. So it's important to point that out. Pre-tribulation view can also be stated as a dispensational view or interpretation. Meaning what? That there is an order to the biblical events that are going to be taking place now and through the empire. That there are three distinct chronological divisions. And the three are the things which you have seen, the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. So turn with me to the book of Revelation. And I pray that I can bring some clarity to this and bring some understanding to this, and also speak to maybe some questions that you may have about the video. I think pretty much, did everybody enjoy the video? So we shared. So Revelation chapter 1, verse 12. In Revelation chapter 1, in verse 12, so Revelation 12, verse 1, verse 12, we're going to read from 12 through 19. So verse 12 of Revelation 1 says this: Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with garment down to the feet, and girded about his chest with a golden band. And his head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his wings were like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as it refined in a furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in the spring. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, but he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I'm glad he's the one to hold the keys.
Amen.
So when you look at verse 19, you're going to see what he says to John. Write the things which you have seen and the things which are. And the things which will take place after this. What the things that you've seen, what the things are, and what the things will take place. And I want you to write this down. Now, today we are in the last days of the church age. So today we are in the last days of the church age. And I think we would all agree to that by listening to the papers and watching TV. But we are not in end times. End times, or the end of the earth as we know it, will not start until the tribulation starts. So we are in the last days, but we're not in the end times. So the big question is, okay, Pastor, what do you believe and why do you believe? I am a pre-trib believer, and I do have a dispensational view of the Scripture. And let me tell you why. Now turn with me to Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14 so you're going to know exactly where I'm coming from and why I teach what I do when it comes to the catching away of the bride of Christ and the tribulation period. So in Revelation chapter 3 verse 14, in verse 14, it says this, "And the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, the thing says, these things says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot, and I could wish you were cold or hot, so then because you are not, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do you not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked? I counsel you to buy from me the gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich in your white garment, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke, I chasten, therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and be with and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I have overcome and sat down with my Father on his throne. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." The church of Laodicea is in a dispositional view. Is a church right before the tribulation. So this is a picture of the church and what the church is going to look like before the tribulation starts. And look at the wording that is shared with us today. In this scripture, when we back up to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, right, he says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. Let me ask you today, is the church cold or is it hot in this world we live in today? In the United States today, I'm not talking about Crossroads Gospel Church because we need to be hot for Jesus.
Amen.
But I'm talking about there are so many churches. There are so many people and so many things that have been done to the Methodist Church. It almost makes you sick to think about what the denominational structure has done to its people in that church. It is because the leadership is cold. They're lukewarm. They don't know what they believe. They're not promoting the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's destroying the work. It's destroying what God had in place. So yes, most certainly, I can take that view and say, this is a picture of the church worldwide before the coming of the Lord. I believe that this is a picture of the church today. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. "After these things I looked, and behold, the door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, Come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this." So if the Laodicean church is a picture of the church dispensationally, it's right before the coming of Jesus. Then he says, "Behold, come up here. I need to show you what's going to take place now." After chapter 4, now listen to me, after chapter 4 in the book of Revelation, the church is no longer spoken of here on this earth. Why? It's because we're with the Lord, the marriage supper of the Lamb. So we are then with the Lord. What's going to take place on this earth after we go is known as a great tribulation, a time of wrath. And the speaker was saying on the film Sunday night, that God is not bringing down his wrath on the believer, but his wrath is on the unbeliever because they ain't well on earth, their heart and their life to the Lord Jesus. The Lord at this point in time has called his bride home. It will not experience the wrath of God on an unbelieving world is where the wrath of God is going to rest. Now, Revelation chapter 3, verse 11, look at it. "Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown." The tribulation is known as a time of wrath. And I do not believe that the church will experience this. So turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 1. who wait for their Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from what? The wrath to come.
Amen.
So I do not believe that the church is going to experience that. Look at the series of events that take place in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. So back up a chapter, go to verse 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those that have fallen asleep, those that have already passed away. Because there was discussion within the people that saying, well, we know Jesus is going to come back. We know that he is going to capture us away. I know that I'm going to be okay. But what about my mom or my dad or those that have passed away? What's going to happen to them when I'm caught away to heaven? Well, he says, I don't want you to be ignorant of those that are sleeping. Remember that Jesus referred to sleeping as a temporary state. You're forever with the Lord. But that death, that experience of death, is only a temporary time that you're experiencing that. So when you look at verse 13, he says, verse 13, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brother, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
For this we will say to you, and by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord Jesus will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend with the heaven, with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together within the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we will always be with the Lord. Hallelujah. We will be caught up. We are going to be raptured down this earth. So that's where the word rapture comes from when you hear people say, well, rapture isn't said in the Bible. It means a tearing away, a pulling to be caught up. And that's what rapture means. We will be caught up in the clouds of the Lord. How else do you think that we're going to get there? Now think about it. If I tell you that in Revelation, after Revelation chapter 4, that the church no longer is spoken of on this earth during the Great Tribulation, where did they go? Well, they went to heaven. And how did they get there? It's because they were caught away. They were raptured out of this earth to be forever with the Lord. He says in verse 18, therefore comfort one another with these words. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord who shall come as a thief in the night. I think that is very interesting. Because as we get to the end of the sermon, you're going to find out in the world, this is going to be a shock to the world. This is going to be a surprise. That all of a sudden we're going to be here. And I hope it happens before noon today. We are forever with the Lord. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. That we will be gone. It's going to be a surprise event. He's not going to say, I want you to live through the end of the tribulation period. Because what would that tell people they could do? Well, I'll just live my life however I want to. Because I know he's not coming until the end of the tribulation. So I'll just wait till then. And in the middle of the tribulation, I'll accept Jesus in. The Lord tells us it's going to be a surprise. It's going to be a surprise. For when they say, verse 3, for when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. And you, brethren, are not in the darkness so that the day should overcome you as a thief. And I don't think there's anybody in this room that is surprised today if the Lord Jesus returns today. I think you're looking for his coming. Some of us are longing for his coming. Some of us have loved ones that have gone on before. I would just as soon be in heaven with them. I would just as soon be at the feet of the Lord Jesus as being this rotten earth that's covered and filled with evil. Amen?
Amen.
I'm ready to go home to be with the Lord.
Amen.
He says, you are the sons of light and the sons of day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others, but let us watch and be sober. Then he goes on to say in verse 9, for God did not, what? Appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We are no longer on this earth. says he is holy, he is true, he was the key of David, he opens and no one shuts, and he shuts and no one opens. In the dispensational view, the Church of Philadelphia represents the true church, because it's still, its garments are white, its garments are without sin, it's walking for the Lord Jesus, it's keeping the commandments of the Lord. The church that has remained faithful throughout, no matter what. Those that will be kept from the hour of trial, the wrath of God, and the tribulation. So that's what your pastor believes. And I think it's important in the church that you're attending today, whether you attend here or whether you attend in another church, I believe it's vitally important in the day and age we live, because it says in the last days there will be a great falling away. And what are they falling away from? They're falling away from the truth of God, and we're going to see that right before the tribulation period. I think it's important for you to know where your pastors are and what they believe. Why would I say that? Because I think you could take a survey in Marion County and ask some straight three questions through only to the pastors of Marion County and say, do you believe that Jesus is the only way of salvation? How can you tell me to be saved? Can I know if I'm saved? Can you tell me what is your end time belief? And I think that you would be amazed at what people are believing. Into the teaching of the teacher of the video and what he wrote and where he was coming from. So earlier I said there were other views. What are they? I'll tell you what's important. There are other views of end time. I just told you what the video teacher of the video believed. I just told you what I believe. The other views are there are pre-trib believers that I said that I was. There are mid-trib believers, and there are post-trib believers. And what they believe, that pre-trib believes that the rapture of the church is going to take place right before the dawning of the tribulation period. A mid-trib believer believes that halfway through the tribulation, the first 3.5 years, then the church will be raptured at that time. Post-trib means it believes that it will believe that the rapture of the church will take place at the end of the tribulation period. That catches most of the other beliefs. Now, there are a few others, but that catches most of them. And it's the question of when, not if, but when the church will be raptured or caught away. Now, I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, because we're not done. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. For now, we see in a mirror dimly. But then face to face, now I know in part, but I shall know, just as I am also known. But now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Now verse 12 again, it says, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face, now I know in part, and I shall know, just as I am also known. Well, the mirror was invented. The silver glass mirrors we have today was not invented until 1835. And some of you antique buffs, you've probably seen some old mirrors. And when you looked at them, they were kind of distorted. They didn't really give you a real good image. They didn't even have that back in biblical times. So what they had is that they polished brass. And they would polish it and polish it and polish it until you could see your reflection in that glass or in that brass. But at the same time, it was kind of a distorted image. So the view wasn't as clear as it should have been. No matter, now listen to me, no matter how much you think that you know about the Lord Jesus Christ and your Heavenly Father, it still didn't do. So we may not all agree. We may not all agree on the Lord's timing. We may have people that are in the church say, well, Pastor, you're a pre-trib, but I'm a mid-trib, or I'm a post-trib. And you know what? That's okay. That's okay. flesh because you have experienced that I haven't been to heaven. So we can have a different view on the timing of the events. It's okay. But you see, from the sermon title, there is something more important than knowing the timing of the events and the exact time that they are going to take place and when they are going to take place. There's even something more important than that. Something vital that we must all agree to. And that is that we must be ready.